I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. We are here, and the Lord is here. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. God is good, and all the time. We're here to celebrate this good and wonderful God together at First Baptist Church of Elon, and we want to welcome all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and especially extend a warm welcome to our visitors who are with us and our college students who are returning. Those of you who are here for the weekend, we're certainly glad to have you be a part of this worship service. If you are a visitor who would like to know more about our church and upcoming opportunities, we encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. You can find those on the back of the pews in front of you, right there with the prayer cards, if you have any prayer needs that you would like to share with this church body. You can place that in the offering plate as well. Today, as we worship and we celebrate together, we are thankful for the Lord allowing us to be here. But we're also mindful for those who are traveling, those who are away, those who are dealing with family issues, those who are dealing with flood issues, those who have no church this morning. Our hearts are with them as well. As you worship today, allow the Spirit to speak to you about those faces and those people who are not with us today.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, reading verses 24 through 27. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." As we begin our time of worship this day, let us go to the Lord in prayer, reflecting on these words and what they mean to us. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks this day that we are on dry ground. We give you thanks this day for the continued rescue and recovery efforts that take place in Texas. We give you thanks this day that we are founded upon the rock, which is your Son, Jesus the Christ. Father God, we give you thanks this day that we can turn to you when times are troubled, when stresses occur, and we can find your foundation. Father, we each brought something with us to worship this day. Maybe things from this past week, this past weekend, things that are upcoming this next week. And Father, as we come this morning, we lie them at the foot of the altar and place them in your hands. We lift this day of worship in your hands, this time to celebrate, to praise, to give thanks. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We're going to do a responsive reading before we start our hymn of praise in just a few minutes. And our hymn of praise is a medley of some old songs put together. But let's stand and let's do our responsive reading. I will be the worship leader and you will be the people. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just as he. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalt be God, the rock, my Savior. I will praise you, O Lord, although you were angry with me. Your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely my God salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord's strength and my sorrow. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into his inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, keep in heaven for you, who through faith and shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in our last times. seated.
I hope today, as you either came into worship this morning or you had a chance to get an email this week with our September newsletter from the church, we have many exciting things that are going on in the life of our church. And as fall gets started back, we have lots of things we want to remind you of. So I want to encourage you today, if you did not receive the emailed newsletter out this week, please stop by the table in the vestibule and pick one of those up so you know some of the things that I'm going to be talking about with a little bit more detail. First off, let's start next weekend. Next Saturday morning, we will be holding our missions yard sale. It will begin, the yard sale part begins officially at 7:30, but those that are vendors that are selling things at this yard sale are welcome to come at 7 o'clock to get your spots ready. If you want more details about this, see Paula Harrison. Paula's willing to let, she's saying you can show up next Saturday morning if you have stuff you want to sell, and we'll make it happen. What we're doing is reserving spots up there for $10 a person. And then, like I said, it'll take place next Saturday morning. Following the yard sale, hospice will be coming to pick up any items that you want to donate to hospice as a follow-up to that. But more information can be found about it in the newsletter about our yard sale that takes place next Saturday. Jeff Pritchard is also willing to help and come bring items over. If you have larger items that you want to, please contact the church this week, and we'll let Jeff know that you need his assistance. Next Sunday morning, during the morning worship service, will be a special time of worship as we have our deacon ordination and also our vision leadership team commissioning service. So please come out next Sunday at 11 o'clock during morning worship time for those two events. Next Sunday night is when our Sunday night activities get started back, September 10th. It begins at 5 o'clock with our fellowship meal. We're going to be doing one fellowship meal a month, and this will be the meal for September. So everyone's invited to come at 5 o'clock. Immediately following that at 5:30, our children's ministries and our youth ministries begin. Our adult Bible study begins at 5:45. I encourage there's a spot for everyone on Sunday night starting next Sunday. I do also want to remind our ministry teams that next Sunday afternoon will be our church council meeting at 4 o'clock, so please be representative there. So next weekend is a very busy weekend, but we've got even more stuff coming up beyond that. So next Sunday, one thing I forgot about next Sunday as well. Next Sunday, immediately after worship, we're having a special lunch for our college students. It is for any college student that is part of our church that's been coming to visit, but we need your help. Located around the church, there are sign-up sheets for this college meal that you're saying you're willing to bring some items of food for this ministry. David Wall has worked really hard with this, and we're getting our word out about this event next Sunday. So please sign up to bring some food next Sunday for our college ministry. And now, speaking to our college students, invite as many college students as you would like. All your friends, bring them. Debbie, I just said that. I apologize if I scare you when I said that. She said we're willing to order some pizza if we don't have enough food. So bring college students. If you have a college student that's living in your neighborhood, invite them. Invite anyone you know for next Sunday for that event right after worship. Sunday night ministry is coming up. More things coming up in the next couple weeks. On Sunday, September 17th, our morning Sunday school and worship is going to happen a little bit differently. That morning, Sunday school will meet from 9:45 to 10:15. It'll be a shortened Sunday school that morning because our Vermont mission team will be sharing their report about what took place in Vermont this summer. That worship service on September 17th will begin at 10:30. Not at 11 o'clock. So please come out early that Sunday for our worship time and hear what the youth experienced up from Vermont and how it's touched their lives. So lots of things coming up. We've got a men's breakfast coming up in a couple weeks. It's in the newsletter. There's other youth events and senior adult events coming up with luncheon. Lots of things going on. Everyone is touched by the ministries taking place this fall. Please be a part of it. If you have any questions, you can see me following the worship service this morning.
Our offertory hymn this morning is hymn number 7, and it's also on the screen. Let's stand and let's worship together. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful Sunday morning. Thank you for all the gifts that you've given us. Please be with the people throughout our country who are having to deal with weather conditions and all kinds of other things that are going on. Let them feel your loving presence. Lead us to help them in the ways that we feel like you would like for us to. Please continue to be with our church as we go about our activities. And please bless all the giving this morning and the givers. Amen.
I invite you to hear again the words of Scripture from Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Hear now the word of the Lord. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you might be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you bow with me in prayer? God, we pause now in silence so that each of us, face to face with your Spirit, might confess the ways we have turned in the wrong direction, as we pause and silently confess. God, we admit that there have been times in our lives where you said, go to the right, and for whatever reason that seemed good to us, we went to the left. You told us to stop, and we kept going. You told us to go, and we stood still. We're not very good at this thing called life. We so desperately need you, for you are the giver of life and the teacher of life and the Savior of life. We trust in the breath of your Spirit that gives us that life, that forgives and corrects, that rebukes and turns us around, that gives us strength and energy for the journey ahead. And oh, good God, we give you thanks for that promise in your word that says, wherever we go, wherever we are, you are with us. It's in the confidence of that Spirit that we pray as we sit here together in the comfort of this room with cushy seats and climate-controlled air. We think about those who have less,
we think about those who are struggling, as we think about those who are hungry and hurting, flooded, abandoned, as we think about those who sit alone this very moment in a hospital bed or in a nursing home or shut in their own house, may your Spirit be with them and give them life in double portion. May your peace and your presence surround them and lift them up. And may you give us that inspired kick in the right direction to go and be the presence of Christ for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Simply take a moment in prayer to allow that to set into our hearts. Would you bow with me? God, what a word we have received from you through prayers and readings and song. Now we turn again to your holy word, seeking a word of challenge, a word of hope, a word of encouragement, a word of instruction, a word of life. May we be open to receive it in Christ's precious name. Amen. I often tell you stories from the farm days about life growing up in Hogwaller, North Carolina, and the fun adventures that my brothers and I had together.
But you don't hear quite as much about the reality that at some point in our lives, when we were teenagers, we moved from the farm to the city, which is about as ridiculous sounding as it may sound at first glance, as we loaded up a big red tractor trailer with no walls and no ceilings and just things tied and duct taped to it and drove to the big city of Whiteville to find our new way, our new home. It was very much like the Beverly Hillbillies coming into town, neighbors peeking out the windows, wondering. We felt a little bit like the Jeffersons. I remember singing that song in my head, well, we're moving on up to the big top. It was an exciting moment because as a kid, when you move, everything is just amazing and you have no idea what to expect and you're so excited. And as I reflect back on that moment, there were so many good things about a move like that. For example, for the first time in my life memory, we had central heating and air. No more chopping wood. No more opening up the window and blowing the strongest possible fan on you in the heat of the summer and still sweating, sleeping on top of your covers. Yay, we got air conditioning. We got heat. And all you have to do is press a button. Then again, no more chopping wood. Maybe chopping wood wasn't all bad, right? There were a lot of other great things, opportunities, enrichment opportunities. Moving from the country to town meant it was a lot easier to play football or run track or participate in Boy Scouts. So there was a lot of great things about that kind of transition. I think about, you know, the good things too being that now we were a part of a church that had a youth program, something we didn't have before. Wonderful opportunities. No more riding the bus. No more getting up and being out there at 5:30 a.m. at the end of an uphill dirt road, quarter mile long. Yes, I find myself saying that to my kids, that we had to walk up that hill so early in the morning before daylight and wait in the cold for a bus that we would ride for 2 hours, 2 hours to school, because we were the first ones on and the last ones off every day. In fact, the bus driver lived just one block, country block down the road. So no more bus life. Cable TV became a reality. See, if you're young, you may not realize this, is that back in the day, not every house had a dish strapped to the top of it. Not everybody had access to something like cable television. And so we were amazed to turn on the TV and there was MTV. But then again, on the downside, we had cable TV. I cannot honestly say that everything that we were exposed to on cable TV was beneficial to my development by any stretch of the imagination. Every idea presented on Comedy Central was not edifying by any imagination at all. Another con, now that I think about it, was no more bus rides. You may remember about a year ago sharing about the Kool-Aid communion of Bus 8 and how we would take this big gallon-sized bag of red Kool-Aid and pass it from the front to the back, each one of us taking turns, sticking our finger in the Kool-Aid and then licking it like one of those dipsticks. And everybody in school knew if you had the red finger, you were a part of Bus 8. So even though we celebrated not having to get up so early and ride so long, there was a loss there too of culture, of community. Cable and buses, both pros and cons, but we also lost touch with the land. We still farmed, but we weren't in the dirt, so to speak, on a daily basis, watching things grow, watching things come to life, watching things hatch and be born. So even though we maybe didn't miss all the hard work, we certainly missed the benefits of that work. And even though we were exposed now to a youth ministry and youth group, we also had easier access to a lot of kids who weren't quite as savory. And all the best trouble I ever got into in my life, I got into it once we moved to town. I think what I learned from that is, And we'll see this in our Acts passage, that things change. Our community is changing. We learned about on Saturday the changing dynamics of the university, what will happen when Elon Elementary School is no longer here, and the neighborhood is shifting and things are changing. But change by itself is neither bad nor good, is it? It's what we do in response to change that matters. It's how we allow, or if we allow, change to change us. And we are the masters of our own destiny. We are the ones who decide what we allow to affect us or not affect us. Change, again, is not evil. It's just real. It just is. But what do we do with that change? Do we listen to the new idea, or do we reject it? Do we say to ourselves, you know, I've been wrong about something my whole life? Or do we double down and say, no, this is what I've always believed. This is the way it's always going to be. It's like there is this truth at work in the world. You got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them. Know when to walk away. Know when to run. You know, somebody should write a song about that. Kenny Rogers would probably do a really good job teaching us about how to not count our money at the table. But there is a truth to that. You just have to discern. You have to think things through in life. And as I've always enjoyed hearing, Ray Jones was a former deacon friend of mine in a former church who is now in the kingdom. But Ray used to say, if you never leave your town, you'll always be the smartest person, but that might not be very smart. And if you never listen to a voice outside of your town, you might not hear anything great or good or wonderful. So what happens in our Acts story when the new guy comes to town with a new idea, a new philosophy, a new way of thinking about the world? And we encounter this story in stages in the book of Acts, chapter 8. And we'll just dive in verse 4. In verse 4 it says, "Now those who were scattered went from place to place proclaiming the word." These are the two-by-two type missionaries going around, those people who are leaving out of their hometown and going into new horizons and new places to preach the word of God. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds, with one accord, listened eagerly to what was said by Philip, hearing and seeing the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with loud shrieks came out of many who were possessed, and many others who were paralyzed or lame were cured. So there was great joy in that city. Now a certain man named Simon had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he was someone great. You know, sometimes you have that guy who comes to town with all these great ideas, and I always say, if someone has to keep telling me over and over again how great they are, who are they really trying to convince? If you're great, you don't need to say it. But he needed to say it. In verse 10, it says, "All of them, from the least to the greatest, listened to him eagerly, saying, 'This man has the power of God that is called great.'" Sometimes we believe the lie, don't we? Sometimes we listen to the voice of the one who keeps saying, "Hey, I'm the smartest. I'm the best. I've got a smart brain. Listen to me. I've got the best idea." And sometimes we hear it enough to where we allow it to become real in our own minds. And so they did. They listened. In verse 11, "And they listened eagerly to him, because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip, who was proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he stayed constantly with Philip and was amazed when he saw the signs and great miracles that took place." The stages are beginning to fall into place for us. A guy comes to town saying, he's so great. Listen to me. Look at me. Watch me. Think like me. And people are mesmerized by it. It's a great image that he's put out there. But then something a little more real comes in, a voice with a little more depth. Philip begins preaching, and they believe. Even this guy who thinks he's so great believes and is baptized. But there are more people coming, more change on the horizon for this community, because as we continue to read, now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Act 3, as it were, involves two more people coming to town, and it's only when those final voices are listened to and accepted and received, only in the midst of that change do we hear that they receive the Holy Spirit. That's hard for us maybe to wrap our brain around. We always sort of assume you get baptized, you've got the Spirit. But there are a lot of baptized folk who do not have the Spirit, have not yet fully listened. And what's beautiful and amazing about this story is how each person comes to town, God works through them to nudge. We have a nudging God, don't we? First, you've got this somewhat of a buffoon type character, the magician. But at least God uses this magician to nudge the people towards a warmth and interest. Hey, are there things in the world that maybe we don't understand? Is there more to this life than what we have seen growing up here in the town of Samaria? Is there something better out there? Their hearts are warmed and opened. The ice is cracked a little bit. But then you got someone who knows a little more than Simon the magician, who's experienced something more real than Simon the magician. And when he comes to town, he presents an even better idea. Jesus is Lord. Be saved, be baptized. And again, they listen. They think it through. They accept what Philip is arguing about and what he is preaching, and they're baptized. But they need a little more. So these two guys from Jerusalem come down, yet more strangers. Sometimes in church, we get very concerned about all these come-heres versus the from-heres, who are the established folks. And when people move into a church, they start having other ideas and sharing what they've done in their congregations in the past or what they used to do in their hometown. And there can be a sense of anxiety in the face of such change. But not so with the people here in this church. They listen, they think it through, and they get the Spirit. The best gift ever is the gift of the Spirit. And they get it, and they receive it, and they allow it to change them. You know, there are countless stories in Christian history of missionaries going into places where the gospel's never been preached and it not going well. It even can end in death and violence. Because there is in our human nature, when the new person comes into the village and starts telling us truths we did not know, things that are counter to the way we've always believed, there is something tribal that is triggered in us to say, that's not the way we've always done it. That's not the way we've always believed. That tribal instinct kicks in because it's a part of our very biology. If you were here for the vision process, we listened to Simon Sinek talking about the golden circle of influence, and he pointed out that this is basic biology, that the way our brain works is from meaning out to function. That's the way your brain is set up. And so that's why he noted that someone could sit down with you with a product and explain to you logically, reasonably, and factually, here, for this reason, and this reason, this is the best thing for you. But you could still say, I don't know. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. That tribal instinct is kicking in us, and we're hearing something new, and we're seeing something new, and we say, but it doesn't feel right. We're resistant to it by nature. We are afraid of change. In our early days of human history, change might just be the thing that gets you killed. It certainly killed an awful lot of Native Americans, just some change. It can bring disease and death and darkness. So we're afraid of it. But we're also afraid of admitting that maybe those who have instructed us our whole lives, maybe they were wrong. I hear that so often when someone is presented with a new idea. It's new to them, a new way of thinking about the world. And you can cite scripture. You can cite history. You can cite facts and data and statistics and charts. You can offer them theological depth and perspective. And the response will often be, you're trying to tell me that my Sunday school teacher, who always told me this was true, that they were wrong? In philosophy, we call that a fallacious thinking. We call it a fallacy. It's the fallacy of appealing to authority. Just because the authority said it doesn't make it true. Just because your preacher said it doesn't mean it's right. Just because your dad taught you that or your mom taught you that doesn't mean it's always true. So we're seeing this incredible battle going on between our tribal instincts, our biological nature, our fear that people have been wrong before. People have taught us wrong, that we are wrong. But I think stories like this teach us that one of the vital parts of the Christian life is unlearning something we've always known. So much about gospel life is unlearning, isn't it? I had someone recently tell me, you know, you're not the same as you were in high school. And I said, praise God! Do you want to be the same as you were 20 years ago? Stagnation is what that would be called. May God change us day after day. And if we believe exactly the way we believed 20 years ago, 30 years ago, maybe even a year ago, then what does a story like this tell us? It says these people are getting something right that we are not. For they did not give in to any of those barriers, but simply listened and received. Not all new ideas are good ideas, but they're not all bad either. The Christian life is seeking to discern what is good and what is right. When do I need to turn to the left and when to the right? And that is impossible if we stop up our ears and say, not listening, not listening. Let us pray. Lord, help us to listen and receive. Give us discerning minds and hearts to know when it is your spirit and when it's just magic. When it's the depth of the gospel and when it's just exciting ideas. Help us not, as the scripture says, not to have itching ears that long for the type of teaching that we just want to believe anyway. But help us to evaluate everything we say and do and believe, to not become complacent or stagnant in our thoughts and in our deeds. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe on us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We invite you this morning to to respond to the word of God as you have received it, as it has challenged you. Whatever that challenge may be, would you answer the Spirit's voice today? If you are able, would you stand as we sing together our hymn of response, Breathe on Me. We'll sing verses 1 and 4, number 238. Please stand. Receive this blessing as we go and remain standing for our benediction response. The Spirit has breathed on you. May you inhale deeply. And may you take that breath of life with you as you go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.